What's up and welcome into a fresh Locked On Bulls Thursday, October 28th, 2021. I'm Matt. That's Big Dave. Up ahead on today's show, we've got a little bit of injury news with the Bulls all-star guard Zach LaVine, a little bit of a boo-boo on his thumb. We'll talk about that and the updates we got from Zach and Billy Donovan in the first segment. And then the back end of today's program, y'all, we're leading up to Bulls Knicks tonight. It's Joakim Noah night at the UC. I got my Nobody Goes to Cleveland on Vacation shirt on. Me and Big Dave are breaking down our favorite Joakim Noah moments on the back end of today's show. That's all ahead on a fresh Locked On Bulls. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome in to Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave Watson at Bow, B-A-W-L Sports. Bow. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us a text or leave us a voicemail at 331-979-1369 for our weekly mailbag episodes. We did voicemails, whole bunch of fun voicemails on yesterday's episode, so go check that out if you haven't already, because you could be on there. All right, Big Dave. First and foremost, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I feel good. I'm all right. I'm rested. I'm fed. I got my Prince shirt on. I'm good. I mean, I'm good, man. I'm happy. I'm very happy. How about you? How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Obviously excited about Bulls Knicks going with you. And it sounds like a whole bunch of Bulls fans are going to be packing the U for this Thursday night game against the Knicks, including a bunch of people who have like hit us up on Twitter and in our DMs to say, like, hey, I'm going too. So here's what we're going to do. Me and Big Dave are going to try and get to the UC as early before tip-off as possible, and then we'll let y'all know where we are, and then just come say hi. Come have a beer with us and let us bask in the glory of the Bulls being relevant again and all of us being there to celebrate Joakim. But I am also a little bit on edge today, Big Dave, because of this injury news to one Zach LaVine. We got to talk about it. Thankfully, it doesn't sound too serious. It was Shams Charania who first broke the news Wednesday morning, saying that he had a small ligament tear in the thumb of his non-shooting hand, but intends to play through the pain. Had an MRI that revealed this small tear in his thumb ligament, and then Zach at morning shoot around basically said it's kind of more like closely resembling a strain because the tear is so small. And he said, you know, it's not my shooting hand, it doesn't hurt that bad. What I want to do is play through it. Well, what's your reaction to this news from Zach LaVine and this thumb?
I first heard it from a friend of mine. He said I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, man, the Zach news isn't as bad as I thought it was. And I said,
and you were like, what are you talking about?
That's exactly what I said. I said, what? And he didn't respond to me. So I went on Twitter and I was like, maybe he's talking about football and he's talking about Zach Wilson. And I go look up Zach Wilson's injury. I'm like, oh yeah, that Zach Wilson injury was tough. Cause I know he's not talking about Zach LaVine, but he spelled it with the H and Zach spells it. And I was like, no, I ended up looking up Zach, and I just saw, you know, Shams Charania. I said, no! Oh, he's okay. All right, he can still play. All right. that really was my emotions. I didn't like the wave there that I went on, but that was the wave, Matt. So I wasn't happy. I mean, I'm sure he isn't happy either, but I am very calm and collected now, knowing that, one, it's not on his shooting hand, and two, it is something that he can play with because it is simply about the pain tolerance. And as we know about Zach, man, he has played through some pain over these years, man, for real.
Yeah, he is a tough dude. And obviously it's good that it is non-shooting hand as opposed to shooting hand. But we maybe saw this pain in his thumb affecting him. And I think Darnell Mayberry put the video out on Twitter that play when the Bulls are trying to hold off that late furious Raptors rally, earlier this week, and Zach is bringing the ball up the court and he tries to go behind the back from his right hand to his left hand. And the ball just like flies away from him. And you're like, what the heck? And looking back on it, you realize that there were a couple different moments in that game where Zach was kind of like trying to like shake out his hand. It looked like maybe he was bothering him in some way. And then he said, yeah, it was already kind of like a jammed thumb. And then at one point in that game against Toronto, it sort of got like bent back awkwardly. And that sort of exacerbated the pain or the jam in the thumb that was already there. And then during Wednesday shoot-around, Zach, talking about whether or not he's going to play through this, said this, quote, I don't want to put myself in any danger. I don't have all the information on it yet. We'll see how I feel tomorrow and going from there. You know me. I try to play through everything. If I'm able to, I will. If not, we'll see how it goes. And then, you know, Billy Donovan added to that that Zach did do some things but was not a full participant in Wednesday practice. So we'll see. We're recording this episode actually on Wednesday ahead of dropping it on Thursday. So hopefully, you know, by this time tomorrow, by Thursday afternoon, we will hear, yep, Zach's going to play. Because for as big of a game as this is, the Knicks coming into Chicago 3-1, the Bulls 4-0, we might have ourselves an amazing long dormant Bulls-Knicks rivalry back on the cusp of being back. And if Zach couldn't play in that game, gosh, that would be so disappointing.
It would be, and I just don't think Zach would go out like that. Like, Zach is going to play. Unless they say, Zach, there's no way you should play this game. There's your thumb will fall off if you dribble the basketball. That's pretty much the only way that I see him not playing in this game, Matt. Because, again, it's the non-shooting hand, and I think that's what's hugely important. And I'm also glad that this was caught. And they knew what was the problem. And so they have a way to kind of deal with as far as the pain tolerance and what he can handle and what medications and things he needs to take and, you know, what he needs to do. So I'm sure there's plenty of rest going on for him, I'm sure, with that thumb. But I think he'll be ready. Like, overall, Matt, I think he'll be ready to go. It just sucks because, you know, coming off of that, you know, 4-0, finally breaking that streak. And then we're finally playing against, you know, a meaningful team and a bunch of meaningful teams after this game that, you know, we were going in, you know, riding high. And so it's just like, oh, you know, we're already going through the Patrick Williams, you know, shoulder stuff. And so now we're like, ah, we got to do this to Zach. Ah, that sucks. But it's the fact he could be out there playing will be helpful. But it also, Matt, answered the question as to why we thought Zach was off these past, you know, couple games. Because we were looking at him like, something's not right. Like, you know, he's not playing well. We were just, you know, chalking it up to him just, you know, having a bad run at it. But obviously, it was that thumb.
Yeah. Look, in the grand scheme of things, you have to be relieved that it's something, hopefully, knock on wood, as minor as this. I saw some doctor chiming in underneath the Shams tweet, you know, like a sports doctor Twitter account saying, it was most likely this particular ligament in the thumb. And, you know, if you put some kind of brace around it because it's your non-shooting hand and let it heal, this thing could heal itself, you know, from 4 to 6 weeks. So I guess right now the only big concern or potential big concern is if Zach, with how tough he is and knowing, hey, we got a chance this season to do something fun, to do something special. We want to win. I want to win. Yeah. I'm playing through this, that he could somehow aggravate it or injure it more in a, you know, fully physical 5-on-5 regular season game kind of action. That's the risk versus reward that Zach, the team doctors, and Billy and his staff are going to have to sort of weigh out over the next days and weeks.
Yeah, that's definitely what they'll be looking at. A friend of mine who used to play basketball, not on the pro level, but he used to play basketball for sure, was telling me about this injury today when I asked. He was like, well, honestly, these things heal kind of quickly. And the good thing is it's not his shooting hand and things. I'm like, yeah, but it's an injury, and he should not be injured, and I hate it. You know, he's like, relax. He'll be fine. It'll be okay. But I think, it's going to be bothersome, obviously, because it's an injury, and it's an injury to your hand, and you need your hands. I don't care if it's a hangnail or something like that, it's be bothersome to him. But the one thing I just know is just like guys like Kobe and things like that, like Zach is tough, man. And Zach plays through this kind of stuff. So I'm expecting him to still be out there doing his thing, man. Cause it's a big old game, Matt. I mean, Spike Lee will probably be there too. It's going to be a big old game, baby.
It's a big one. And like, it's funny that so many Bulls fans on Twitter as soon as this news dropped. Like, I quote tweeted the you know, breaking news from Jam saying, like, Zach can have my thumb ligament. Like, I don't use that. I don't care. What's a thumb ligament? And then shout out to the guys at Bleacher Nation Bulls. They responded to me saying, I just sent mine to the Advocate Center. The more the merry. A lot of people being like, yeah, take my thumb ligaments, because Bulls fans are rallying around Zach and the whole team with such a fun and successful start to the season. And then, so shout out to Joshua Paul, who in response to that said, AK walking into his office with a stack of packages on his desk, like, and then it's Brad Pitt saying, what's in the box? Like, AK just has a bunch of just sawed off human thumbs. Like, here, transplant this. I packed it on ice. Zach can have my thumb.
It's like that movie Rudy, when everybody was dropping their jersey on the coach's table. Like, everybody just walking in, dropping their thumbs. This was that coach.
It's just a bunch of Bulls fans sending their thumbs to the Bulls training center. Okay. Speaking of people who are willing to, you know, sacrifice their body for Bulls victories, we got to talk about Joakim Noah, who will be honored at the United Center later Thursday night. Before we do that, though, if you want to put some money on this Bulls-Knicks game, or any NBA game, or maybe some NFL games this upcoming weekend, you know that there is one and only one place to do that. It's Bet Online, who are back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive that sign-up bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the offers available for the 2021 season. So, you know, if you're like our guy Kendall Gill and want to, like, I don't know, say put a wager on Derrick Rose scoring over his over-under line, go to betonline.ag and do that. And then we can all bask in the glory of Kendall Gill saying, did you see what D-Rose did tonight? And you can be like, yeah, but at least I made some money off of it. Right, Dave? So go to BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, it's where the game starts.
Oh, man. You know what, guys? After that game, when you're driving back home, you might hear something funny in your car. You might say to yourself, oh, man, I need to get this fixed. The weekend's coming up. I got to go to dealership, deal with that. You know, I might have to bring the kids with me because I need to give my significant other a break. You know, do stuff. I take the dog and put them in the car because, you know, they're tripping. Anything. It's a lot of things you got to go through just to go get yourself a muffler, man. And then you got to deal with the people when you get there. You know, they all smell like, you know, disease and despair, and you don't want to deal with none of that. Well, I'll tell you what. You can go just drive straight home after this Bulls victory against the Knicks and go straight to rockauto.com and type that right on in and save you some money. Save 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership. Rock Auto's a family-owned business serving those do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Reliably low prices for every single customer and all the parts that you could ever need. Trust me, they got it. So I want you to do this. I want you to do to just go explore that easy to use website today or tonight and find yourself a solution to all your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write Locked On into that how did you hear about us section. That's Locked On. Write that in so they know that my main man Matt and myself Big Dave sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. Let Joakim Noah hear you, people. RockAuto.com. Joakim!
All right, Dave, are you ready?
No, I'm not.
We're recording this podcast a day ahead of time, and I already just beginning this segment, I felt a rush. I felt a rush come over my body. Whew, okay, here we go. We're going to talk about Joakim Noah for the remainder of today's episode and what he has meant to this Bulls franchise and some of our collective favorite moments from him. And I feel like it kind of makes sense to go chronologically, or at least more or less chronologically, through his career, Big Dave, with the Bulls. Mm-hmm. So let's start with this. Okay. When the announcement was made by David Stern, mm-hmm. with the 9th overall pick, the Bulls select Joakim Noah, Florida. And he comes walking in that seersucker suit, mm-hmm. hair popping out both sides of his fresh Bulls cap, and mm-hmm. a bow tie and that doofy, silly grin. What were you thinking?
I was over the moon excited, Matt. I was very, very, very happy that they got Joakim Noah. I remember listening. I didn't even watch that championship game. I just remember listening because I remember being in the garage and I was cleaning my car. And they were playing Ohio State. You know, they had Greg Oden at that time. And Greg Oden was going up against Joakim Noah. And just all I kept hearing, I think it was Kevin Harlan who was calling the game. He just could not stop talking about Joakim Noah and his play on the floor. And I loved Joakim Noah in college, man. Like, mm-hmm. that dude had all kinds of heart, you know what I'm saying, in college, dude. And he did. I love the fact that he moved at his own speed and did things his own kind of way, in his own pace, but it was never at a detriment to the team. And you could just see that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could really see it. So when they got him, I'm talking about, I was super duper happy. And I thought everybody would feel like I did, Matt. And I was completely wrong. Everybody was like, what the hell are the Bulls doing? What is going on here? They couldn't believe they drafted him. And I went to work and friends, Matt, oh my God, what? Did you see his suit? Did you see his hair? What are you talking about? He's going to be a flop. He can't play ball. And I'm telling all of them how good he is. I'm like, you don't win best player of the Final Four being trash at center. You know how many people on that Florida team? And he won the
– Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to go deeper into the arc, but that's the stuff I was yelling at. Okay. And I can't tell you, Matt, how many people over the years have just come to me and apologized. Like, dude, okay, you know what? You were right. I was dead wrong about him, and I'm glad I was wrong about him.
Look, you're right that you were one of many, or I should say the Joakim non-believers who came up to you and issued that kind of apology were wrong. And a lot of people, and this was in one of the many interviews that Casey Johnson posted over the last couple of days at NBC Sports Chicago. He's been interviewing a whole bunch of former coaches and teammates about Joakim. And one of them was with John Paxson. And I know Bulls fans don't like to really talk about John these days because he got, you know, special advisor title and he's not allowed to make any decisions anymore. And we're all happy about that. But John Paxson said, look, I took a lot of flack from a lot of people who thought that we should have taken Spencer Hawes instead. And that's not revisionist history. There were plenty of people who thought the Bulls swung and missed by taking Joakim instead of Spencer Hawes. And Pax took flack for it at the time. Turns out he was right. And in that interview, John Paxson also recalled seeing Joakim play in a Florida game for the first time when, you know, Florida was playing in Madison Square Garden early in his collegiate career, and thinking to himself and then telling, you know, scouts and the people around him, keep an eye on that kid. He doesn't stop. He does not stop. He plays and plays and plays and plays. And John saw that from the get-go with Joakim Noah. And look, so what I remember about that draft night was my brother texted me and was like, really? This dude? This guy? With like a picture of him on. And I was like, dude, he just won back-to-back NCAA titles. You know how hard that is? You know how like that hasn't happened in a long time? Like not even Coach K's Duke Blue Devils are repeating at any point in this particular stretch of college basketball. That means something. And the fact that he was one of their best players, I was like, I don't care what he looks like. I do not care what he looks like. If he's good, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
And like, Joakim had a rocky rookie year. There was a thing where he called out then assistant coach Ron Adams and his, you know, he was issued a 1-game suspension by the team. And then a couple of vets on that team, Ben Wallace and Adrian Griffin, collectively voted to actually make it a 2-game suspension instead of one because they were like, hey, Rook, know your place. Know your place. But even as a rookie in that year where I think the Bulls went like, you know, 33-49 or whatever, he wanted to win so badly that he was calling out vets in the locker room and at practice for not doing their job good enough. And it was like he was so ready to take a leadership role on an NBA team, and he was just like a little too eager, you know, cart before the horse kind of thing. But that tells you so much about how much success he had as he matured and became a vet. Like, he was born to play that role on an NBA team.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Matt. You know, that's great that you said that too, because it's, for me, it's kind of trying to break the spirit of somebody like that. And it couldn't do that for Joakim Noah. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't care because he knew he was right. And he was like, no, I'm correct. And I'm used to winning. You know what I mean? I'm here to, and I want to win. And I want to win. This is, we're not working. This isn't working. So why do we try it this way? Oh, you will. I don't like that stuff, Matt, when they say, oh, you're right, but you're not supposed to say it because it's not your place to say it. Who gives a damn? Like, we're talking about winning. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he's right, then let's change it. And then you saw the records you have, and then that's why the people you named weren't there when the Bulls started kicking off wins and things like that, okay? Because we didn't have no room for that. But yeah, I think you hit that on the head right there, Matt. He was ready to be a leader, and he was ready to lead by example, and he was ready to lead vocally. He had all it covered, man, and all people had to do was just climb aboard and ride the Joakim Noah train, baby. It was beautiful to watch.
And, you know, one of the other things that I always appreciated about Joakim is how much he also hated LeBron James, because I have come to respect the talent and career achievements of LeBron James. You know this about me. But you also know, I'm pretty sure one of the first things you learned about me when we first met and we're getting acquainted is that I hate LeBron James. It's true. I think he's an overrated drama queen crybaby who is, yes, wildly talented and has MVPs and championships and blah, 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 blah. Good for him. He's a flopping drama queen crybaby who loves himself a whole lot. And the fact that Joakim saw that immediately and called out LeBron every chance he got, I was like, I am in love with Joakim Noah. He and I are same. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I can promise, like, Matt used
Joe
those
and
words.
Tony Wonder and Arrested Development, same. same. Like, and it was early on, I think it was like maybe Joakim's rookie year or second year. The Bulls are getting beat down. I think they're down like almost 20 late in the game against the Cavs. LeBron's been hot-dogging and showboating the whole game. He's like, you know, shoulder shimmying and dancing. He's at the free throw line. Joakim's sitting on the bench, and they just start jawing at each other and jawing at each other and jawing at each other. All the, you know, it escalated to a point where in between his two free throws, LeBron walks over to try to escalate this confrontation between him and Joakim, and Joakim's teammates have to like prevent him from rushing from the bench into LeBron's face. And I always appreciated that. For all of the stardom and all of the here's your red carpet, sir, stuff that not only the NBA media, but NBA officials and other NBA players have given LeBron James his entire career, Joakim was like, nah, F all of that. F all of that. I'm trying to beat this guy and also knock his ego down a peg or two because his ego is through the freaking roof.
Yeah. Joakim, I mean, I think that you look into somebody's eyes, Matt, and then you realize, oh, snap, this person ain't all there. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, no, this dude is crazy. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what happened with LeBron. Like, LeBron looked at his eyes and was like, oh, you that guy. Okay, all right. You know, I'm going to keep this to a minimum a little bit. Like, because Joe is that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't about that, man. And you're right, Matt. He was all about taking them down a peg. It made the rivalry that much better and that much sweeter. Even calling them, you know, came up with the Hollywood is hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, we called them that. I know you love that so much. It was just great. It honestly was. And he didn't hide from those things. He consistently told you, yes, I don't like them. Yes, I want to beat them every time we play them. I have no love in my heart for them on that basketball court, and I want to beat them into the ground, into oblivion. He made no bones about it, and he came out there and he tried. Even when he was injured, he was out there really trying to beat them. And I know you remember the video of them in the playoffs when the Heat were confused and yelling at each other. Joakim Noah comes over in there and just yelling in your face and things like that. That's different levels of stuff right there, ladies and gentlemen. And Joakim Noah was definitely made of that, for real.
It really, I mean, that was one of so many amazing moments that Joakim was at the center of in that Bulls-Heatles rivalry that lasted for a few very fun years. The Bulls always coming out on the losing end in playoff games when it mattered, but still an amazing rivalry that Joakim built up by his dislike for LeBron and that entire Hollywood as hell crew. All right, we got to talk about some of our more favorite on-the-court moments from Joakim Noah. And we will do that in just a minute. But if you're maybe finding yourself a little bit hungry while you're listening to this podcast, maybe you want to grab yourself something to eat before you head to the United Center for Bulls Knicks if you're on your way there. There's this little app called Postmates. Not sure if you've heard of it. They're kind of a big deal. And they are a new sponsor here on Locked on Bulls. Do you smell that? You smell that, Big Dave? Smells like beef in beef gravy and maybe some jardiniere. Maybe some fresh baked French roll. You know why? It's because I ordered some Portillo's on Postmates. That's why. With Postmates, I get all of my favorite foods from the local restaurants in my neighborhood delivered. No leaving the house, and even better, no getting in the car and trying to find a parking spot. Have you ever sat through the Portillo's drive-through line before? It takes away half your day. So use Postmates and have somebody do that for you. Duh. Mm-hmm. Postmates isn't all just about Italian beefs or burritos or sushi. You can order things like toothpaste, phone chargers, anything you can think of on demand because they also deliver from places like Walgreens and 7-Eleven. Anything you could possibly need. My favorite part, when the app lets me know that my food or my items have been delivered. Everything is right outside my door. It's so cool and so easy. It never gets old. Just download that Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorite foods or that one thing you forgot to get from the store and get it delivered on demand right now. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving just you, our Locked On Bulls listeners, a little something. New customers will get 50% off your first five orders of $50 or more when you use code LOCKEDONNBA. That's code LOCKEDONNBA, again, to get 50% off your first first five orders of $50 or more. Max savings of $100 per order. Just download that Postmates app or sign up online. It's super easy. Offer is subject to change and taxes and fees apply. Offer valid for 30 days after you add the promo code to your account. Postmates, get yourself some food.
Oh, that was amazing. And eating all that jardinera, eating that delicious beef, that Italian beef, guess what? Sometimes you might start sweating. It might start dripping on you because it's so good and it's so delicious. But guess what? Matt Peck didn't even notice that was happening. You know why? Because that man had on some sweat block. So it was blocking out the bad so he can continue with the good. Oh, won't you want to be part of that? Don't you want to be down with that? Well, let me tell you how. Matter of fact, first, let me tell you what the wonderful things that it does. It stops excessive sweat for up to 7 days per use. It is doctor created. It is doctor recommended. And it has my favorite, ladies and gentlemen, the dry shirt guarantee. If sweat block does not keep you dry, now hear me closely. If sweat block does not keep you dry, you get your money back. Come on, man. And let me throw a little bonus on here for you. It's not just for the armpits. All right, you got other spots on you that's a little sweaty. Feet, hands, neck, a little bit, or a little hoo-hoo. You can take care of that too, baby. Because why? Because that's a sweat block, and you can use it anywhere. And I mean, So this is what you do. You head to sweatblock.com. You use that promo code Locked On, and you save yourself 20% off. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Well, fine. You can't get there. Well, how about you go to Amazon and get it? How about you go to CVS and do it that way? Still using that promo code, still saving you 20% off, y'all. So get you some sweat block and save yourself all kinds of problems and troubles. Sweat block! Stay dry. He's going to the joke team.
You mentioned Hollywood as hell, right?
I did.
That came first after the Bulls were bounced out of the Eastern Conference Finals of 2011 in Game 5. Joakim sitting in the locker room, despondent, depressed, frustrated, angry, and he's being asked to evaluate that Heat team that they just went up against and couldn't get over. And among other things, he said, they're very good. They're Hollywood as hell. but they are very good. Very
good.
Mm-hmm. And whoever asked the follow-up was like, Hollywood. He was like, yes, they are very Hollywood. And another moment that I, and I think a lot of Bulls fans like me, fell in love with Joakim all over again for the appreciation of, and like, yes, it sounds cliche, but the whole Chicago blue collar thing. And it wasn't the first time that he had made it known that he was on our side as Chicagoans, as Bulls fans. That's saying true. Things before that about, like, you know, I'm playing for the guy who can only afford one game a season and he's up there with his kids in the 300 mm-hmm. level, or I'm mm-hmm. playing for the guy who is out there in the freezing cold in the dead of Chicago winter selling Streetwise and like tells me to have a good game. Like, I'm playing for mm-hmm. that guy.
Mm-hmm.
To hear, as like, we like the Heat immediately became enemy number one to Bulls fans mm-hmm. that summer when they had that ridiculous celebratory rally when they hadn't even won a single freaking regular season game yet. Bullseye on their backs. And Joakim, more so than any Bulls player in the stretch of that entire little mini rivalry that lasted a few years, circled the Heat on his calendar every single time they played, regular season or otherwise, because he saw the way that that Hollywood is hell shit bugged him, irked him, and it made him want to beat mm-hmm. them even more. And I've always loved that about Joe.
Yeah, it's the beauties about it, Matt. Like I said, it's not just that he's saying it, it's that he's also doing it. And that's the important thing about him. Because you talked about the Hollywood is hell, but like when I think of favorite Joakim Noah moments, Matt, and there are several, like the few that pop up in my head, of course, my favorite one, the Boston Celtics, triple overtime, the steal, the breakaway, the dunk, and the foul. Matt, I will never, you know what? I always tell people that you will never forget how someone makes you feel. Right. And I'll never, ever forget that feeling that I had when Joakim Noah did that. It was the first time since the Bulls championship that I had that kind of feeling, because mm-hmm. everything went according to how it's supposed to go in the best case scenario. You right. know what I'm saying? A steal in the triple overtime. You take it all the way. You dunk it. You get fouled. You foul out their best player. And you mm-hmm. hit the free throw. Mm-hmm. It was everything encompassed into one. And I just remember that play when he dunked it, just the yell and the scream and the chest bump that he had. Man, I just remember.
And then the camera cuts to Doc Rivers going,
oh. Hands on his knees like, it's over, isn't it? It's over, isn't it? It's over, isn't it? Yes, Doc, it was over. I will never forget that feeling that I had, because I haven't had it since. I have not had that feeling right there since, and I will always love him for that. The other one I remember, Matt, is Game 7 against the New Jersey Nets. When they played
were the Brooklyn Nets by that point.
Yes, excuse me. You're right. They were the Brooklyn Nets at that point. You're right. And the 2 seed or something like that? They were 2 or 3 seed. They were a high seed.
I think they were maybe 3. They had Game 7 in Brooklyn. I can't remember if it was the 3-6 or the 4-5, but the Bulls were the underdog.
Yeah, they were the lower seed. Yeah, Bulls were definitely the lower seed. And I remember going to a bar in a University Village, and my friend Chris, who I do Ball on Bulls with, was with me. And I remember we got a nice spot in there. And I remember when the game started, how everything just swelled. Like, I turned around and it was just so many people and everybody swelled, man. And the Bulls hit the first shot and everybody lost their mind. Like, it was on from that point. There was no point in time that I think thought the Bulls were going to lose that game. And not because of, you know, them having the better team, which I thought they had, but because of Joakim Noah, because he was out there on one leg. You knew that he was hurt. And he had a game, Matt. He balled clean out against the New Jersey Nets, okay? And it was never in doubt in my mind. And I will I just won't forget that feeling. The last one I want to give to you, man, and then I'm going to pass it back here. Last one I want to give to you is probably my favorite game he'd ever played. And that was against Philly when he had the triple-double, 23, mm-hmm. 21, and 11 blocks. It was the game I remember I started telling people, like, you need to take notice of this because those are Hakeem Olajuwon numbers. Okay. Right. I kept telling people that, like, bro, that's not normal. Like, what he did is not normal. I don't care what you're looking at, what you fit. That's not a normal thing to do. And he did it on national television. And then you saw the rest of the things he went on to get that year as far as the accolades and everything were concerned, because that was an incredible year for him. I'll never forget that game, man. He just dominated from beginning to end, and he was the best player on the floor. And it was just beautiful to say that and beautiful to watch just because of who Joakim Noah is.
That was, I got it. I got so many different Joakim season game logs pulled up right now. February 28, 2013. Joakim, yep. in classic Tibbs, 45 minutes on the floor. Yes. 23 points on 8 of 12 from the floor. 21 rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
11 blocks, 3 assists.
And 3 steals.
Oh, and 3 steals. Yeah.
He was everywhere. He was everywhere.
Unbelievable. I mean, some of those games, and like I was looking his, so his 13-14 season, which, mm-hmm. you know, followed their amazing Brooklyn and then Miami two round playoff run in, at the end of 2013. We'll go back to that for a second, but 13-14 was the, okay, you know, Derek's down again, and Tom Thibodeau said, we're just going to run our offense through you. And he, I mean, dude, look, go back and look. If you haven't looked at Joakim's 2013-14 game log in a while, just go. It is ridiculous.
It was the it's end like, of his career.
It's like at least a double-double every night, and then yeah. some flirtation of triple-double with assists and or blocks and or steals. Like
yeah.
the guy was everywhere. Defensive player of the year, all NBA, mm-hmm. all defensive mm-hmm. team, and mm-hmm. fourth in MVP voting. And that was, you know, that was the pinnacle of Joakim's individual
correct
talent and maxing out that talent and being mm-hmm. that big of a focal point of the team. But I think when it comes to the maxing out of who Joakim was with, you know, heart and soul, Tom Thibodeau asked to talk about his years with Joakim after the Knicks win yeah. just the other night, said, yeah. great group of guys. A team that resonated with the city, and Joakim was the heart and soul of that team. That series against Brooklyn that you just mentioned, that was the pinnacle to me. That yeah. was Joakim Noah's fifth symphony. That was yeah. his tour de force yeah. because, you know, you mentioned him playing on one foot mm-hmm. and I went back to double check. You know that Joakim sat 12 of the final 15 regular season games that year with plantar fasciitis. 12 of the last 15 games he sat because he was not healthy enough to play. And then even in that series against Brooklyn, Thibodeau was actually slowly ramping up his minutes. He only played yep. 13 and a half minutes in game one, 25 mm-hmm. and a half minutes in game two, 27 minutes in game three. And then by games four, five, okay, 38, 43, 40. yeah. That game seven. And here's the other wrinkle of that game seven that is so Joakim.
Mm-hmm.
He guaranteed victory.
He sure did.
It was a 3-3 series, and he guaranteed victory. His teammates are falling left and right. Like, he's dodging bullets. He's dodging mm-hmm. bad spinal taps that got his teammate Luol Deng in the hospital. Like, Nate Robinson is hurling a bucket on the bench between, like, during timeouts. And on one foot, he said, game seven on the road, we got this. We're yep. going to win, I guarantee it. He pulled an MJ before game seven against Indiana in 98, but yep. MJ at least had the home ground. Joakim guaranteed victory on the road.
Injured.
On the road on one foot. And you mentioned that he had a hell of a game. Here is that stat line for you in game seven against Brooklyn. 24 on 12 of 17. 14 boards, 7 on each end, 7 offensive, 7 defensive rebounds, 6 blocks, 2 assists, and a steal.
That's ignorant. That's ignorant. Do you understand how good that is?
In 41 minutes.
You understand how good that is? That is crazy. And Matt, that was around the time where I kept being mad at Joakim Noah, because I knew, Matt, because he kept dealing with those plantar fasciitis, and I kept saying, dude, it is them damn shoes. I was mm-hmm. like, I've never seen those shoes before. I kept screaming this on my podcast to people. Like, nobody knows what these Rooster shoes are, so I did a deep right. dive on them, and I found out they were tennis shoes, and it was their first foray into making actual gym shoes. They had never made gym shoes before. I was like, this makes complete sense. He is hurt. Get shoes off him and get him some damn Nikes. After that happened, you never heard of plantar fasciitis again, did you? You never bothered him like that no more. Oh, my God, man.
Although,
was
you know,
so
Big
mad.
Dave, Nike used to just make tennis shoes and runner shoes. So maybe Joakim thought he had found the next Nike and just nobody knew about it yet.
Nike, dude, listen. No. He was over in France. These shoes came from overseas, man. Damn it. Nike, dude. Yeah. What were you doing? I understand that he was trying a new brand, and I get it like that, but my God, it was driving me crazy.
It was like the Pam and Jim wedding episode of The Office where Kevin like has his shoes thrown out, so he wears like Kleenex boxes on his feet to the wedding reception. That was Joakim's footwear of choice.
And he's balling out. Like, yeah. He's wearing bad shoes and balling out. That dude is special.
Here are the other wrinkles of the Bulls winning that series against Brooklyn and then moving into the second round semis against the Heat that I have always loved and cherished. Post-game, I believe it was Rachel Nichols who interviews Joakim on the court immediately after the Bulls win game 7 in Brooklyn and you know, asks him about his game. And he completely ignores that question and then basically just said, "We have a team full of fighters, man. You know, a lot of guys out, but a team full of fighters. And we just wanted to make the city proud, make Chicago proud. That was our whole thing." Like, I have the quote memorized because it means that much to me. Because I was like, dude, that is a soldier whose fellow soldiers are fallen on either side of him and is still, while he has taken a bullet or two, is finding a way to win that fight and saying, "I'm doing it for you. I'm doing it for Chicago. I'm doing it for Bulls fans." And that's what we all mustered our collective strength to win this game, was thinking about them. And then, second part of that immediate post-game on-the-court interview with Rachel Nichols, she asks him about, okay, now Miami's on deck, conference semis. You guys are familiar. You've got a bit of a rivalry. And Joakim, of course, once again offers praise for how talented that team is. You know, the Bulls and Heat had some epic battle regular season games that season. And here they are going up against the Heatles in the playoffs again. And Joakim, with this just sly little smile, said, "We'll see what happens." And then you know what happened?
You know what happened? Yep.
Joakim had a monster double-double, and the Bulls stole game one in Miami. I love that maybe more than any Joakim thing I have ever loved, is him just sly smile saying, "Oh, y'all think we're going to get swept? We'll see what happens." Yeah. And they won game one. And then, of course, starting in game two, the NBA and the officials were like, "Oh, wait, hold on. We actually have to make Miami win this series because it's Miami and they'll get the ratings." So the refs handed that series to Miami after the Bulls stole game one. But Joakim knew, after exhausting his depleted resources to beat Brooklyn on their own game seven, he was already thinking, "I'm about to go beat Miami in Miami in game one, MFers. Yeah. Just you watch."
That was like that game, Matt. I've equated it to Iverson's game that he won against the Lakers. I've equated it to that many times, because I'm like, dude, nobody gave Bulls a chance in hell to win anything in that. And on paper, they shouldn't have had a chance in hell to win any game in that because of how injured they were. Everybody was out. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, Luol Deng, we didn't even know if he would, you know, make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, my God. But Joakim Noah said, "We'll see what happens." He told you that there's a chance. And so just you saying that lets you know, all right, we got a shot. You know what I'm saying? Joakim Noah created his own position. And I'm going to give Tibbs credit too, because he's the one who ran his offense through him. But Joakim Noah was a point center. That did not exist in the NBA before Joakim Noah. That was not a thing. Why would it be a thing? You know what I'm saying? Why would you have your center running point? Why would he be that? But it worked with Joakim Noah. Incredible passer, Matt. I'm talking about his passing skills were elite. And the picks that he set. And then when he got hot, and I mean, when that jumper, as funky as it looked, when that joint was falling, Matt, it was he was unstoppable. Like, bottom line of it, because you weren't going to stop him from getting rebounds. You weren't going to stop him from blocking shots, because those are effort. And that's what he was going to give you every single night. But my God, when that jumper was falling with it, and he's shooting like 12 or 17, 13 or 18 like that, it's over for you. Because now you're demoralized on both ends of the floor, okay? Because he's talking to you and yelling at you the entire time while he's doing it.
Another one that stands out to me, we'll do a few more before, it, you know, and then we'll get out of here because we're already at 45 mm-hmm. minutes. But I, you know me, I could talk about Joaquin forever.
I know.
It was a regular season Sunday showcase on ESPN. And I can't remember if it was 13-14, it was at the latest 13-14 because it was still Bulls Heat, not back to Bulls Cavs. And Joakim's dad and some of his other family members are at the UC watching the game.
Yes.
And Lisa Salters is doing an in-game, while the game is going on, picture-in-picture interview with Yannick Noah. And asking him about, you know, what is it that, you know, makes his son so formidable on the court. And as he's trying to answer Lisa Salter's question, Joakim has LeBron one-on-one like this on the left elbow. And Yannick is saying, you know, Joakim, he's very focused. He's very focused. And Yannick is not focused on the interview. He's focused on watching Joakim. And like right after he says he's very focused, Joakim does this classic Joakim thing where he's sizing up LeBron one-on-one and he just claps in LeBron's face like, yeah, bring it, bring it. And then what happens? LeBron tries to back him down, fails. Joakim forces him into a difficult fall away, you know, a fadeaway jump shot, which LeBron misses. Bulls get the rebound, go the other way. Meanwhile, Yannick Noah on camera, on mic, is having a conniption fit, ignoring Lisa Salters. The Bulls miss the transition layup. Joakim gets the offensive board and then going back up with it, gets fouled, draws the foul. Finally, there's a whistle and a stop of play. And Yannick Noah just stands up and like standing ovation while Joakim just goes scream stomping down the court. And I was like, that was maybe the most Joakim of all Joakim moments. And his dad just got to witness it right there. Like, it was so special, man. I will never, ever forget watching that moment.
And it's doubly special because you get to see where he gets it from. You know what I'm saying? Where that fire comes from and why he's like the way he is. Even just speaking with his father and hearing interviews about his father, you know why he's a free spirit like he is. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he's very close with his dad. You know why he's into sports like he is. You know what I mean? Like, you see it all. You know what I mean? And why he has that heart and why he has that toughness on top of all of that. You know what I'm saying? So you see it all. So seeing that moment and seeing the son, right, and then the father, you know what I'm saying, doing it like that. It you're right. It was amazing to watch. It, you know what? I just thought of another moment I loved when they played Sacramento and that game when they were on the road, man. And I mean, the refs were having a horrible game. They were calling some trash that game. I remember it well. They were calling a lot of trash that game. And Joakim
Noah, he pulled a Scarface.
Oh my God. He just got completely fed up. And like Matt said, he pulled a Scarface of halfback. And I mean, before he left, he made eye contact with all of them. And they all got some of that. Where you at? Like, he let every single person know how he felt. All of those refs. I loved it so much because, one, he was right. Because I'm telling you, those refs were trash that game. He was correct.
Oh, yeah.
But two, it was controlled chaos, Matt. You know what I'm saying? It was he knew why he was mad. He wasn't taking it out on everybody around, none of that stuff. No, I'm mad at you because you suck right now. And you're getting all of this. It was beautiful, controlled chaos. There are a lot of players who can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they're angry, it's taken out on everybody else around them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Joe was never really like that, man. Joe was like, yo, I'm mad at you, and that's who I'm coming at. I'm mad at LeBron. Guess what? I'm mad at you, LeBron. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nobody else around. Yeah. It's just you. That's why I love Joakim Noah so much. It was always controlled chaos with him, man. And he was right. He was just right.
And yeah, I actually went back and watched that one too yesterday or this morning, the Joakim in Sacramento. And the camera stays on him as he's getting like shoved down the tunnel and away from, as he's like fighting whoever security guard is pushing him into the tunnel, he comes back for like two more, like, no, you and you. It's like, dude, you're halfway out the tunnel. Let it go. Joakim's like, I will not let it go. It's that same fighting spirit that made Bulls fans always love and appreciate him. And, you know, like standing up for his teammates in a very similar way, whether it was on the court or off the court, an on the court example that I always think of is going back to that 2013 second round series against Miami. Chris Birdman Anderson absolutely wallops Nate Robinson driving to the bucket. Little, you know, baby Nate Robinson, all of 5 foot five, and then kind of like lands on him. Joakim comes in from out of nowhere and like picks up Chris Birdman Anderson and throws him off of Nate Robinson. Like, man, get the F off my teammate. I mean, at any time there was any kind of, oh, is one of my teammates about to get into it with somebody? Hold on. Let me get into it with them. Mm-hmm. He was always, I got your back. And then the way that that translated to how he defended his teammates and was there for his teammates off the court. And I'm talking about Derrick Rose with a torn ACL that the, for whatever reason, the Bulls organization let it leak that he was medically cleared to come back while the Bulls are fighting their way through this playoff run. And media, national, Chicago, everywhere is saying, why isn't Derrick playing? Why isn't Derrick playing? Why isn't Derrick playing? Joakim went to bat for his teammate and his friend repeatedly, even saying things to the national media and on national radio. Y'all need to shut up because you don't know what you're talking about.
Yep.
I mean, that is being there for your teammate.
And he was like that with everyone, like you said, Matt. Like, it wasn't just Derrick. You know, he was just the glowing example of that kind of thing. But he was like that with all his teammates. And I love how all of them just speak so glowingly about him. And they all tell you that he was out of his mind. And that was the greatest part about it. You know, we all have those friends, and maybe some of us are those friends to other friends, but that dude one that everybody crazy. Is like, yeah, this dude is nuts. You remember when he was in Memphis, when Bernie, I can't think it was Bernie Bickerstaff. Was it? Who was their coach? It was like, man, Joakim's effing crazy. Like, he didn't even sugarcoat none of that. You know what I'm saying? He just told you, dude. Like, this dude is effing crazy, man. Yes, he is. And we love him for it so much. I just got one more question because I know we got to get out of here. Justin, got one more question for you, man. How happy were you that Joakim Noah never played for LeBron James and the Lakers?
Oh, God. Oh, so glad. So glad. Because, you know, I think LeBron, especially as he's aged and is like, all right, which random vets do I need to bring in this season to try to help me win a ring? And then next day, fire everyone, trade everyone. Okay, who else can I use? Who else can I use? Speaking of my hatred for LeBron, I never honestly worried about it that much, Dave, because I don't think that Joakim would have ever wanted to be his teammate. I really don't. Fair. I think he disliked LeBron that much. That's not to say he doesn't respect LeBron's greatness. He very much does. Right. But no, you think Joakim wants to be a sideshow element to the LeBron show, to the LeBron entourage? No. His last go round, and look, I don't know if the Lakers even made a call to Joakim. Maybe were interested, maybe they weren't. And maybe LeBron feels the same way about Joakim. Maybe LeBron's like, I never want to play with that guy. That guy's crazy. And he's been making my life on the court miserable for my entire career. But he went and signed with the Clippers. His last NBA stint was the other LA team. LA team.
Yeah.
But was I ultimately relieved that it did never happen when he finally announced his retirement for real? Yes. Because I did not want to see that. You know, I was such a like impromptu Clippers mega fan that one season. Because I wanted to see Joakim win his ring.
He was crazy, y'all.
So badly to see Joakim win a ring.
Yeah, but he did.
It wasn't in the cards, and I'm, you know, I like the fact that Joakim and LeBron never became teammates. To my knowledge, never became friends of any kind, because you know what? You and I grew up in a time when the NBA was about rivalries, and rivalries that was like, we will draw blood on the court tonight. And y'all better just deal with that. Refs, fans, whoever, y'all deal with that. We're out for blood. That doesn't exist in the NBA anymore because everybody's just all chummy and buddy-buddy with everybody. And that's another thing that I loved about Joakim and LeBron. They honestly hate each other, and they never were buddy-buddy because F that. This is competition.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We got to go. It's beautiful.
We got to go. last one. Very last one.
Okay.
Christmas Day special, Bulls Nets. Joakim on an inbounds play is sizing up Kevin Garnett, who you know, KG and Joakim, another pair who hated each other.
Did not like
and
each other.
KG is like leaning down into Joakim, trying to get into his body. And the camera catches KG snapping with his teeth at Joakim's hands while he's trying to D him up. Mm-hmm. Like, like biting at Joakim. And I was like, yeah, speaking of people who are crazy mother waters, like, are you trying to bite Joakim Noah right now? And Joakim like looked at KG like, you like talk about a vet on his last legs trying to come up with other various ways to get in my head or beat me. I was, you know, I always thought about that line from the second Ace Ventura. I didn't know that the Wachutus were biters. Kevin Garnett, biter. Freaking crazy. Yeah, we gotta get out of here. Thank you for appeasing me and letting us talk about Joakim Noah for 45 minutes. Yeah. Everybody enjoy Bulls Knicks tonight, and hopefully Zach LaVine is there playing. Hopefully Joakim gets a raucous ovation from the crowd. You know I'll be there clapping and probably also crying along with Big Dave.
You'll probably do it.
While like Joakim going at LeBron, Big Dave will be trying to hold me back.
Yes. It's a fact. It's my only goal here, guys.
Oh, my goodness. We'll be back with another episode on deck for you the day after today. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter, Bulls_Peck, BAWL Sports, and at Locked On Bulls. That text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. For Big Dave, I'm Matt. Happy Joakim Day, everybody. We'll see you next time.